How many people in history have gained some special knowledge that other people don't have and used it to either, lord it over other people or to become rich, or there are so many ways to use knowledge for your own selfish gain. But to be able to have the virtue we've talked about before, about how the Greeks discovered the cardinal virtues, but to have the virtue, and that's what I mean, that's the image that comes to my mind whenever I think about a lot of these important Greek figures. They were curious. They wanted to grow in understanding and in knowledge, but they also wanted to grow in virtue. And to have those two, the knowledge, the understanding, and the virtue work together, it's a very powerful combination.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to Knowledge Machine.
Welcome to another Nerding Out with That Nerdy Catholic. I'm Seth Payne, and I'm here with my always co-nerd Cesar, and we are continuing our series on the history of science, and I think specifically the history of physics. That's mainly what we're going to be focusing on. But before we jump into this episode, I want to remind you that if you go to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for our newsletter and get the latest news about what we're doing, the latest episodes we're putting out. And if you go to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch, you can get some of our nerdy swag, t-shirts and mugs and other things that you can have to show the world that you are a nerd and you love the intersection of science and faith. And if you go over to thatnerdycatholic.com/support, you can help us financially over there. Any financial help you can give is greatly appreciated. We appreciate all of you who have already supported us financially, and what you can do, even the little amount, can help us keep the lights on and keep the equipment working. And any support you can give is greatly appreciated. So, Cesar, we are continuing down the history of physics, and who are we talking about next?
So this is Archimedes, no? Archimedes from Syracuse. This is a mathematician, engineer, physicist, astronomer, and I don't know, there are so many things more, but he was born in 287 before Christ, and he died approximately in 212 during the siege of Rome to his natal city in Syracuse. No, so let's dive into the story of this Greek mathematician, this physicist. No, one of the things that we for sure know about him is that he was really interested in developing physics, and more of what we know of his development was used during the siege of the Roman Empire to his native city. No, and he creates some of, he used his science to create some of the artifacts to defend his own city. We'll dive into that in a little more, but the thing is that, because of his ingenuity and his creations, he was able to put the Romans back approximately 1 year before they can take Syracuse. And we are dealing with a big Roman Empire here against a little city, which is Syracuse. No,
well, I mean, at that point, they've already taken over a good amount of the world, and so who would even? I'm sure there are a lot of people who wouldn't even have considered trying to, put up such a great fight. But to have one person to be in charge of, to be able to help defend a city for so long.
Yes. And it is recorded in history that during the that you know during that period, the General Marcus Aurelius Marcellus was very curious on who was this guy that with all his ingenuity and mm-hmm. new artifacts almost has put it into, you know, retreat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he sent a Roman soldier to grab the guy. And the Roman soldier went and discovered Archimedes in a deep meditation about, you know, about his studies. And the Roman soldier said, hey, the general is looking for you. And, you know, the funny thing, Archimedes says, you know, don't disturb my circles. So he was that focused. Unfortunately, the Roman soldier was really angry and just killed Archimedes at that moment, no, mm-hmm. without hesitation, no. And
it's too bad that the general didn't tell the soldier how important he thought he was.
Yes, yes. He was just, you know, giving an order, say you have mm-hmm. to come, and the other guy say no, I'm just. But the thing is that, and I want to start with this, no. He was a great physicist, but underlying that, he was a great mathematician.
Mm-hmm. No? Yeah, we talked about him a little bit in our series on math, and yes. Yeah, and that I remember we were talking about that event and thinking about, you know, that. I know we should be said. We've each had our moments of focus.
Yes,
where it's a good thing no one was trying to come in with, you know, into the space we were in with a sword.
Yeah, to interrupt the meditation on thinking of those. No, yes, the idea here is that he was, you know, so let's name just a little of accomplishment in math, because this mm-hmm. is going to help us understand his work as a physicist. No. He anticipated modern calculus by applying the concept of the infinitely small and the methods of exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he was able to do some calculations about the calculation of pi, the area mm-hmm. of the circle, no, the area of the ellipse, the mm-hmm. area under the parabola, no, mm-hmm. The area of the spiral, and many other mathematical figures. No,
mm-hmm.
He was really a great mathematician that proved the different, you know, in mathematics, all these forms are named conics. No,
mm-hmm.
So the area of circle, parabola, ellipse, and mm-hmm. hyperboles, those are conics because those can be drawn from specific cuts of a cone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he know that very well, and he know the properties of each figure and you know, and the mathematical relationships mm-hmm. to make those figures. You know?
I think what's so interesting about that is that, like we've talked a lot about the Greeks,
mm-hmm.
is the level of their curiosity.
Yes.
And like so many things in the relationship between math and science, like we've said before, mm-hmm. things are discovered in math and then later on are applied in physics.
Yes.
But it's the curiosity of trying to understand the world more
mm-hmm.
leads to the kind of the theoretical understanding of some, you know, some construct or concept
mm-hmm.
that is later on said, oh, there's actually a use for this.
Yes, yes. In the case of Archimedes, we are kind of the man that explain the concepts and applied.
And applied, yes, yes. So, it doesn't always happen. It's usually, yeah. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, decades later.
Yes, yes,
but,
exactly.
But to have one person discover some concept and say, oh, I can picture an application for this.
Yes. And this is a perfect you know, a perfect point for the first story of Archimedes. No, everybody has at some point in their life heard the word Eureka, mm-hmm. no, which is the Greek for I found it. No, and this is the story that came from one of the historians about Archimedes. No, there's the story of the of you know, of Archimedes discovering this mm-hmm. in a funny way.
It's, I remember when you told me that, I had to laugh because it brings to mind, and I'll share the story, but it brings to mind that kind of absent-minded, mm-hmm. you know, scientist, absent-minded professor type person. So Archimedes decided one day while he was trying to figure out this problem of calculating the density mm-hmm. of the crown, he decided to take a bath. So he gets in the bath and he's thinking about this problem and he realizes, wait a second, I'm actually sitting in the water. He noticed when he got into the water started to rise. He's like, wait a second. So he realized this connection. He's like, well, I'm displacing the water. We were saying that he couldn't take the crown and melt it down into a cube. If you melted it down to a cube, you could put two things right next to each other and say, well, this one is clearly bigger mm-hmm. than this one. So he thought of this contraption that could use the water to figure out the actual volume of an object. And so in his excitement, he jumps out and runs through the streets naked saying, Eureka, Eureka.
Yes, exactly. That's the story. And because that makes him think about, you know, I have the final solution on how to discover if the king's crown has silver or not, mm-hmm. you know, mixed with the gold there. So the final presentation is that we have the crown and then we have pure gold with a known weight. And then we put those elements into the water. And of mm-hmm. course, the one with lesser density will try to float, while the other one with higher density will sink a little more. No? Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, if the crown was made purely on gold, there will be level up mm-hmm. at the same level both. Mm-hmm. No? But what he discovered, because of the property of density, the crown was elevated yeah. while the yeah. gold was sinking down.
And the number of concepts that needed to be put together to figure that out, you know, it's not obvious right away to say, oh, you know, something that is less dense is going to float, especially mm-hmm. thinking about something made out of metal. You wouldn't think, well, it's something made out of metal, mm-hmm. it's going to sink. You know, it's not floating.
Yes.
But the fact that there's something else that's even denser, mm-hmm. you're comparing the two buoyancies.
Yes.
But to say, oh, something that is made out of metal might be buoyant, uh-huh. isn't obvious, because it doesn't float.
Exactly. No, and he was really ingenious to set up the experiment the way we are showing. It is a really good solution. And by the way, the king discovered that about the blacksmith, so he was really angry and probably published that. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that for this reason, Archimedes is considered the father of the hydrostatics. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. That principle remains alone and guided probably the medieval and the early Renaissance scientifics mm-hmm. to know deeper about this, no?
Yeah.
But there he is. His influence and his discovery probably centuries after still mm-hmm. available for mm-hmm. that, no? So we have one written from Archimedes that is known as On Floating Bodies. No, that is one of the, we don't have the exact copy. We have a copy of what he's mm-hmm. What he found, and actually this is one of the works that Galileo was based on. Mm. You know, we are talking about Galileo, yeah. right? 15th, 16th century after Christ, probably. Yeah. Yeah. So Galileo was inspired on Archimedes' work.
Well, it just shows how his work, you know, how it lasted.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So that's the first one of Archimedes. There's another famous phrase that is attributed to Archimedes. It says, give me one place to stand on, mm-hmm. and I will move the earth. Mm. You know? And that was the principle of labor. I just want to clarify that, you know, by Archimedes' time, the principle of labor was known. Mm-hmm. But what Archimedes did is to give the mathematical foundation to the principle of labor, to explain why Mm-hmm. That is really important because you can discover, oh, this works, this helped me, mm-hmm. but you don't know exactly why, or you cannot display the proportions of the lever on how this augmented the force. But
yeah.
Archimedes, with his math, was able to explain that, no? mm-hmm. to explain the law of the levers. And, yeah. and you know, if you have some point, you have a little piece of the lever at one point, and a longer piece, you know,
mm-hmm.
that is the same proportion of force that you have to apply, you know.
Yeah.
So the longer the lever, the less force you have to do in order to move an object, yeah. you know. And how much is that? That is Archimedes' work,
mm-hmm.
because of his mathematical background, he discovered yeah. that, no. Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting thinking about, you know, we were just saying that, you know, there so many times a mathematical formula is discovered, mm-hmm. and then years later, there's an application for it is found.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a really interesting example of there are a lot of things that we know work.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, someone figures out something that works, and they start using it as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point later on, someone says, oh, let me figure out why it works.
Mm-hmm.
They figure out why it works. And what happens after that? You're able to get a better use of that tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not just, okay, if I create a lever, I can push it down and do work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the formula, you can say, okay, here's this weight
mm-hmm.
that I need to lift. What is the exact length
mm-hmm.
of a lever that I need, and how much force do I need on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and how can I make, how long do I have to make, if I have this weight and I only have this much force I can use, how big of a lever do I need?
Yes.
And so you can make, you can get so much more work out of it. You know, it reminds me of, you know, fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot about fermentation in the years since I've started doing, you know, home brewing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We always knew about, you know, we've used fermentation for years. I mean, thousands of years. When we finally, you know, but for most of history, the strength of what was fermented, because it was always wild fermentation,
mm-hmm.
was between 1 and maybe 3 or 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Once we understood the, you know, the yeast that did the fermentation,
mm-hmm.
we started breeding different forms of yeast. We were able to bring up the levels of fermentation mm-hmm. all the way up to, like, you know, 18-20% now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something that you know how to use, but you don't know why it works.
Yeah.
But the moment you understand why it works and you can start calculating and making formulas for it,
mm-hmm.
then you can, you know, make much better use of the tool and actually figure out with the lever, how much of a lever do you need? How much force do you need to lift a weight?
That's a really good point, because that is exactly what Archimedes did. So once you have, you know, the knowledge of the mathematical calculation of the lever, you can start designing artifacts that, you know, he later used during the siege of Syracuse, no?
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to design catapults that get rocks thrown far deep into the sea to mm-hmm. sink the Roman ships.
Mm-hmm. No?
So by that way, the Romans were afraid to get closer because, you know,
mm-hmm.
hit it by a rock and then suddenly sink the ship. The other one was what it's called Archimedes' claw, no. So there was a section of the wall that was directly in contact with the sea,
mm-hmm.
no. And you know, you can see in the picture that, you know, the picture is kind of artistic and mm-hmm. Kind of big, but the idea is that if the ship came close enough, and that was the order of the General Marcus, that get close enough and bring some ladder to invade the mm-hmm. city. Climbing through the walls, the Archimedes' claw will grab the front of the ship, tie it up in a vertical position, and then releasing that so the ship start to sink. No, so you know the soldiers were afraid to come up with the general, so with the order of their general, because mm-hmm. you know that my chip could sing, and I would have a problem here, yeah. No? And so those are really two small examples of how he discovered this principle, and how, because of the mathematical proof that he gave, he was able to perfect some and create new artifacts,
mm-hmm. You
know, perfect the catapult and create new the Archimedes scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So in defense of his native city Syracuse, no. So
yeah.
I think that's one of the outstanding examples of use of math into physics,
mm-hmm.
to solve a real problem.
Yeah. No? Well, I'm sure no one probably up to that point ever thought about using a lever to reach out and grab a ship.
No one. Yes, yes. We talk about his studies about the spiral, no? So this is Archimedes' screw. No?
Mm-hmm.
Archimedes' screw, there's a story behind his invention of Archimedes' screw. No? Archimedes' screw is an artifact that you use to grab some water from a lower level into an upper level,
mm-hmm.
In a very effective way. No? And the design of a screw was thought of Archimedes, but the story is really nice. No? Again, it involves the king of Syracuse asking Archimedes, you know, I want to build a ship with all the luxuries. No? He wants to build a ship, a big ship. Actually, the ancient history say that at that time, that was the biggest ship that was ever built. It was called the Syracusian, no? And this ship has everything, no? It has a gymnasium, garden decoration, and a temple dedicated to the goddess Aphrodite, among all other facilities.
So
all that in a big ship, no? And it could carry up to 600 people, no?
Wow.
So the Syracusan, according to the historian, was the biggest ship of that time. No?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a luxury ship that the king was appointed Archimedes to build. No, so as part of that, Archimedes was thinking, if for some reason there's water getting into the ship,
mm-hmm.
how am I able to take easily the water out of that big of a ship?
Mm-hmm.
No? So in his ingenuity and to solve that problem, that's how he came out with the with the Archimedes screw.
Mm-hmm. No?
So he used the screw to if there was for some reason it started to accumulate water in the bottom of the ship, he used the screw to take that water out and then throw it back to the ocean. No?
Yeah.
And that was a really ingenious way. But currently we're still using in some places that screw mm-hmm. to bring water to higher places. No,
actually, I saw a video recently on a channel of this guy who's a civic engineer,
mm-hmm.
and it was a video on dams and the designs of dams,
mm-hmm.
and it actually showed in one place they need to be able to pump water from mm-hmm. lower to higher, and they use the very large Archimedes screw.
Oh,
and thinking about that, you know, this was the main way to do a pump
mm-hmm.
before we could really, you know, on a larger scale,
mm-hmm.
before we could discover, you know, like how to control a vacuum better.
Yeah.
But the fact that this one was used for so long as the only way to move water from a lower to a higher mm-hmm. without having to grab buckets.
Yeah, to grab some buckets. Yeah.
But the fact that it is still used today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a testament of his ingenuity.
Yeah.
One other thing that really grabbed my attention while I was reading about Archimedes was the, you know, the ships were approaching to the coast, and Archimedes put an arrange of mirrors in a parabolic form.
Mm-hmm.
So the rays on the sun concentrated in one point of the chip mm-hmm. and it start to burn. The funny thing is, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because his deep knowledge of the conics. One mm-hmm. of the figures of conics is a parabola. The parabola is a mathematical construction, but the nice property of that figure is that, you know, you direct all the rays that are that comes straight from the sun,
mm-hmm.
and you are able to concentrate in one point, which is the focus of the parabola. No? Yeah.
Well, and also then the deep understanding of how to use the parabola, because you know if you look at the shape of the parabola,
yes.
The more the more narrow you mm-hmm. make it, the closer to the inside the parabola the focal point is.
Yes.
The wider you make it, the more the focal point moves out.
Yes.
And so he could figure out, okay, here's where the ships are coming in. I would like to be able to hit it right about there.
Uh-huh.
Adjust the shape of the parabola.
Yes, yes. That's true. So
well, and it's I would say probably up to this point in history, wars were won by brute force.
Yes.
You have the larger the army, the more force you have.
Yes.
This shows the military might based on how smart you are.
Yes.
Not how much brute force you have.
No.
And it's almost like a David and Goliath story.
It is.
You know, you have the Roman army, which is like this huge Goliath, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this one man who says, you know what, if I, you know, you think about David with a little slingshot, take one little stone, if I can swing it and get it just right,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to take down the big Goliath. And so he was able to hold, you know, the fact that he was able to hold back the Roman army for a year based on his inventions.
Yes.
It's incredible.
And you know, the funny thing is that he was able to get the chips out far enough. So for a year, Syracuse was alone, but was able to get the ships far enough so supplies can get in and out into the city, so mm-hmm. that the people doesn't starve.
Yeah.
No. But how he was able to get the ships far enough to do that? Because of all of this invention that we are mentioning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The ships were afraid, oh, don't get too close. We don't want to be burned in the middle of the sea.
We don't want to be burned. We don't want to have huge rocks, you know, thrown at us from far away.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to get too close and have this big claw come out and grab us.
Yeah, you know, the general say he almost put us into the retreat.
Yeah.
1 year for one small city. I mean, the whole Roman Empire with all the resources.
Yeah.
You know, it is unbelievable that what Archimedes was able to achieve with this, no? So, you know, I want to bring some final ideas on here, no?
Mm-hmm.
The first idea is that, you know, Archimedes didn't grab his knowledge to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even grab his knowledge to just his, you know, his student. He used his physics knowledge to serve his city,
mm-hmm.
no? Not only in the wartime, but, you know, to serve the king in
mm-hmm.
the problems that we mentioned before, no?
Yeah.
So it is, I like what, you know, the knowledge, the concept of having the knowledge in order to serve your
mm-hmm.
people, to serve your city. I like that concept.
Really, mm-hmm.
Because some people has a lot of knowledge, but they keep it to themselves or just to use for themselves.
Yeah. No. How many people in history have gained some special knowledge that mm-hmm. other people don't have and used it to either, you know, lord it over other people or to become rich, or, you know, there are so many ways to use knowledge
mm-hmm.
for your own selfish gain.
Yes.
But to be able to have the virtue.
Yes.
We've talked about before about, you know, how the Greeks discovered the cardinal virtues, but mm-hmm. to have the virtue. And that's what I mean, that's the image that comes to my mind whenever I think about a lot of these important Greek figures. They were curious. They wanted to grow in understanding and in knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but they also wanted to grow in virtue. And to have those two, those the knowledge, the understanding, and the virtue work together, it's a very powerful combination.
Yes, completely agree with you.
And it's very Christ-like as well.
Yes. The second thing is that he said the foundation for if important concept of mechanics, no, which is a branch of physics and astronomy too. We didn't talk that much about astronomy, but he did some progress in astronomy too. No, that is really important because, as we said, Galileo, so many centuries later, using Archimedes' work, for hydrostatics and things like that. That later Galileo gave it to another level, but. But there we go. The other thing is that for any scientist or for any person that wants to do science, you know, because I think not only scientists do science, you know, every person that really have the curiosity of want to know how the world works, they can do science. Everybody of us can do science. It's important to see the world with new eyes, with curiosity. You know, you know, like the Eureka and the bathtub, you know, anecdote of Archimedes, no?
Just put a robe on first.
Yes, exactly. You know, but to be able to see the in the ordinary, what's extraordinary in the ordinary, it's really important.
Yeah.
No? It's really important.
And the willingness to say the world might be bigger and more profound and just more than I currently understand.
Yeah.
Yep. And to say, you know, I want to understand the world around me. I know it has to be more beautiful, more complicated than what I currently see, and how and seeing that there are phenomena that happen that I can't currently explain. What's the process that I can go through to get a better understanding?
Yes, I love what you mentioned about the virtues, because that's true. The Greeks were it was, I think, Plato mentioning in one of his writings, the Republics, the four cardinal virtues, no? Prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. No? And those virtues definitely guided this, at least in the history of Archimedes and the previous Greeks that we were reviewing in this physics series, because you have to have perseverance, you know, which is part of temperance. You have to be courageous in order to pursue an idea that is probably contrary to the known belief, and that's fortitude, you know? And we see in Archimedes, you don't keep your knowledge to yourself.
Yeah.
You do it to defend your city and your people. Yeah. It's justice.
Yeah. There, yeah, well, I love that, that you can see in the work that he did all four of the cardinal virtues.
Yes.
But, and think about the courage, though. How courageous do you have to be to say, here is the Roman army coming. I'm going to do all I can to help defend my city with ideas.
Yes.
he's not going out and conscripting a larger army.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the people to, but he's like, I have these ideas, and there has to be a way to make things from these ideas that I've had into something that can defend a city against such a large army.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would not be surprised if, you know, most people in that situation was like, well, I can't fight, especially against this huge army, and all I have is these interesting ideas, all these things I've discovered, but I can't fight an army. I'm gonna leave, try and save my life.
Yeah.
But Archimedes said, no, I'm gonna take these ideas and I'm gonna try and work out a way to use them to help defend my city.
Yeah. So I like kind of how we are finalizing this episode, because, you know, it requires the cardinal virtues for a good physicist or scientific to do good.
Yeah. And as we'll see as we continue down the history of physics, that's a common thread among a lot of these physicists, that, you know, I want to discover more about the world, but I want to be able to make the world better.
Yeah.
Not just for me, but for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we hope you come back and continue with us with our exploration of the history of physics. Just like with math, it's been such an enlightening, you know, series to go through, to learn about how we got to where we are right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't remember who said it, but there's a scientist that said, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, everything I do, I only do because I stand on the shoulder of giants.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important, not just to, you know, when you're studying anything, but, you know, think about studying physics. Mm-hmm. It's not enough just to say, okay, here are the concepts we currently understand. Mm-hmm. Here's how to calculate them. You know, to see where we are right now, mm-hmm. but to be able to look back and see where it came from, you know, this, you know, step by step by step, you know, from where we started, 2,500 years from then until now. And as we said, you know, with things like the Archimedes screw, mm-hmm. with the levers, that there are concepts that Archimedes came up with and invented, things that he invented, that we're still using today.
Yes.
And so to be able to not just understand them, but to know where they came from is so important.
Agree. Yeah. Agree. Hope you join us in the next episode, because this is getting really interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. But before we go, I want to remind you that if you head over to thatnerdycatholic.com, you can sign up for our email list, get emails with latest updates of the latest videos, podcasts we're putting out, any new developments that are happening in the Nerdy Catholic multiverse. If you head over to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch, you can get cool mugs and t-shirts and other cool nerdy things. If you head over to thatnerdycatholic.com/support, you can help support us financially. And we want to thank you once again, all of you who have already, you know, come up and, you know, supported us financially. And even whether it's a large amount of support or just a small amount, you know, any support, we really appreciate it. And it encourages us. It not just helps, you know, keep the lights on, but it encourages us to, in another way, to say, you know, this is important.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that are interested in supporting the things that we're exploring, and all the things that we're doing here. So I want to thank you for joining us, and please join us again in a couple of weeks.
Right. God bless. You guys. Bye bye.
System shut down.